Hi, this is the Dill and Friends podcast. I'm Deborah, Dylan's mum. Thanks for tuning in and I hope you like the show as much as I do. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.
G'day guys and welcome back to another episode of Dill and Friends. Absolute treat today, one of my great compadres. Very excited to have him on the show. It's been a while in the making, Dill Shield. Dill, thanks for coming on, mate.
Thanks for having me, mate. Very excited to be here. And just to be able to hear you introduce yourself to the podcast. I've heard it yes, a few times, obviously,
yes.
On the car trips to training, but to see it in person is another thing.
Everything's better up close, mate, and you're very lucky to be here, to be honest. Ever since you moved to Melbourne, thought the phone number had changed. Hadn't been hearing a lot from you. I'd been down there for Christmas time. It was a bit disheartening, but I suppose we're here now and we can move forward.
Well, that's a little bit untrue because we did actually do a training session together over Christmas. And
we did. I smoked remember you. That. Yeah, I smoked you.
I did try to orchestrate to do this podcast round one, but you didn't have a time slot for me. So I actually wanted to do this leading into round one, but you didn't have time for me, or maybe I didn't have time for you. I'm not sure.
Either way, we'll move on.
With that.
Mate, we've known each other for a while. We have. Our friendship does span back a long time, really.
It all started 15
years old. So we played together in the Vic schoolboys together. You're as dynamic then as you are now. And then obviously from there we progressed and we actually got split up because you were a Danny Nong Stingrays boy at the time.
Yep.
And that went from there to the Vic country region.
Yes.
And I was at Vic Metro. But then we went to the AIS where we did travels to South Africa and Canberra. Was very good times. There was one story that I did want to bring up with you, and I know you do remember it. There was an incident that did nearly test our friendship. We never nearly spoke again.
Well, you're pretty sensitive back then, and you've come a long way. You're actually at the other end of the scale. You're quite relaxed. But it was in 2009 or 10. We were in the AIS Academy squad together, and we were doing a 10-day camp, I think, and we were spending a few days in AIS in Canberra. Mm-hmm. And we took things pretty seriously then, like,
of course, you know. This is the Australian team, mind you. So we're
top 30 kids in the country of that age. And
what happened?
You know, we were really practicing trying to be as professional as possible. Every kid was carrying a bloody water bottle everywhere he went.
Foam roller.
never late to a meeting, which we try to practice today. Wearing the, you know, correct gear, everything. So one training session, we jumped on the bus and I'd cheekily swapped Dill's boots over. So you had one pair of molds and one pair of studs. And different coloured boots in each bag.
And I'm pretty sure this was the first camp, so everyone's trying to impress.
And I was giggling on the bus, I think, and you'd walked on and you just took one look at me and you knew something was up and you were probably sick of me by then because it was only 6 hours into the camp. And I just told you to have a little look at your boots if I could get it out when I was giggling. And you just spat the dummy and sprinted out of the bus.
Mind you, we're just about to go to our first training session. Like I said, we just met each other. Oh, sorry, we knew each other, but we just met the whole team 6 hours earlier. We're just about to go to our first session. Coach is there. Bus is ready to go. My hotel room's a kilometre away from the bus.
You need to impress.
And mind you, I'd never threw you under the bus either, so maybe that's got you to where you were today.
Yeah, and you sooked up, but you got there. You got back in time. We waited, and it didn't look good for you. But
no, it didn't.
And you didn't talk to me for a good day or two there, which is a long time at the age of 16, 17.
Should have been 3 days.
That was pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Good on you. Now, mate, back even further than that. So when we were in under-15s, we used to – obviously, we played that carnival together, but then you'd come down and support us in our local teams. Because obviously, we both came from pretty successful teams. I've stated a lot. You know, I used to play for Fitzroy, probably the best junior team to ever play the game.
You know this team?
Yes. Hold on. Wait.
Look at you. I've got a photo of you wearing your helmet, square head. Kick it. I remember this kick. I went and watched you play in the under-15 grand final. Kick. Yeah. You kicked the goal from the boundary and you gave it one hell of a celebration.
You got to give it something, mate.
And then this is what you look like.
That is embarrassing. That was the famous grand final that we did beat Ashburton. And everyone talks about Ashburton. They were this great team. I've said it before. Tom Mitchell, Toby Green, Jack Viney. few others. And it was great. They were a great team. But you know what? Champion players don't make a champion team, Dill.
You had some pretty good players in your team, though.
We did. We did have some good players as well.
Guys that went on to AFL players. Lists.
Yeah, we did. We did. Hal Hunter, former resident player. Michael Muscoulis, one of my beautiful, beautiful friends. And, yeah, a few others out there. So it was good. But enough about me, mate. This is your show. You also played in a great team. Edith Vale Aspendale.
Yep.
Five flags?
Eight in a
just,
row.
Just off. Yeah.
We won eight in a row. Yeah. Edith Vale Aspendale. Eagles played in the Frankston District Junior Football League. We won eight flags in a row from under nines to under 16s. About that.
That's pretty crazy, man. In all due respect, though, that Frankston League, you know, it was nothing like the Yarra League. There was probably like fifth division league. You won eight in a row, I get that, but you probably wouldn't have even made gold division in our league.
I'm not sure about that. We had some guys. We had a pretty good team, Dill.
Who'd you have?
We had Jordan Kelly. He went on to play.
At
Hawthorn. He was on an AFL list.
Hawthorn.
And Brett O'Hanlon went on to the Richmond list and played a handful of games.
Yes.
So, and we had a few guys that went on to play VFL. So, you know, we had a pretty solid teammate, and I'd say we would be able to take it up to any team back then. And we did. We actually had a few pracky games against some teams in the leagues and sort of taught them a lesson in footy back then. One handball, one long kick. It's a simple game plan. Eight flags.
It is impressive. Well done.
I used to grow up thinking, gee, winning flags is bloody easy.
Yeah, I know.
Not easy.
No. Tell me about it, mate. I ever since winning that flag in under 15s, I don't think I've won more than three games in a row. So high school, I think we won one game. I went to Carlton. We all know the story there. That's about it. Anyway, mate, early days of your AFL career, it was a bit of a like weird way to come in. You were one of the under 17 year old priority picks.
Yeah, 17 pre-selection concession that the Giants could pick up before the draft.
Yeah, and how'd you find that? So because you were actually, did you finish a year early, didn't you, school?
So so I was lucky because I was finishing or I was undertaking year 12, and if I was going to take the normal path to through the draft, I would have had to have 12 months in between school and getting drafted. So I would have looking at going to uni and playing another year of cup footy. So lucky enough, I fell into the age bracket that they could draft me a year early. And they notified me halfway through year 12 because they were able to do that. And I basically flew up to Sydney after my last year 12 exam. It was it was actually a pretty underwhelming way to come into the AFL. There's no draft.
No surprise.
There's no surprise. Got told after a school football game, which was obviously really nice.
Oh, it's cool.
Nice night, but then I was really well prepared for that.
Yeah. No, well, it's actually a bit like when I got to Carlton, it was a bit the same. You know, I sort of knew for a while I was going to go, and on draft night, it was just like...
Knew for a while. Okay. You were talking about it since you were 15. You were like walking around in the schoolboys competition, like, I'm basically at Carlton as it is. Like, I know Juddy, I know all the guys. Murph's like my brother.
Mate, if it wasn't hard enough, you said you had the strange transition into AFL footy.
Mm-hmm.
You then decide to date the coach's daughter.
I did, yeah.
Talk me through that. How did that happen? And was there any point that crossed your mind where you thought, oh, geez, maybe I can't do this, weighing it up? Just talk me through that whole experience. I'm sure it was a tough one to go with. To the lovely Georgie, just to lovely Georgie. We are still with her today as well. So obviously the proof's in the pudding. She's an absolute stunning, stunning young woman.
So moved to Sydney. Choco and the family had relocated to Sydney as well because he'd obviously signed with the Giants to coach with Sheeds and... Yeah, I mean, just bumped into George after one club function and sort of started from there, mate. Obviously knew it was a dangerous territory going down that path, but they do say love is blind.
Yes, and yes. And then when it hits you like a ton of bricks.
It did, yeah. And there's no doubt I had to think about it. Went to extensive analysis of the pros and cons of going down this path, and the pros certainly outweighed the cons.
Definitely.
You know, talk about going the distance. Today is actually our eighth anniversary.
Eight-year anniversary.
8 years.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So, No, she's a lovely girl, and
she is
deeply in love with her.
No, I am in love with your love with her.
It is, on a serious note, I you know, AFL is challenging to establish yourself as a player and to get a game. And
yes.
I thought, well, I could seriously guarantee myself some games here.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, let's go down this path.
So you're telling me that's where I've gone wrong?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find a coach's daughter.
Find a coach's daughter. Makes sense.
But yeah, Mark's been a fantastic mentor for me, and you know, like a second father for me as well. So we had a great relationship, and you know, it's nice to be just down the road from him at the moment. They're relocated to Melbourne. We spent 5 years at Richmond, so it's great to be you know, close to them as well.
Yeah. Do you actually remember though that initial conversation with him? Like, was there is there a conversation that sticks
You've
out?
You've heard about this, haven't you?
I actually haven't. No. I actually haven't, but I just want to know the actual initial moment.
So any wise father has a pretty good level of
knowledge.
Going on with their children's lives, and he obviously found out that there's something happening with a player of his and his daughter.
Yeah.
And he got to the bottom of it, and there was one training session when we were training at Blacktown at the time, 2011, and he just, I think it was after the warm-up.
Yeah.
Literally during training, after the warm-up, just said, come for a walk. Just pick me out of the herd.
Yeah.
Pick me out of the herd. We were all pretty scared of him then, and so everyone just like looked over their shoulder and going, what's going on here? They continued the next drill. I literally went for a walk around the oval with him during training, and he just said, look, I know what's happening. I know the situation, and I'm just sitting there going, oh no, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And he's like, obviously I can't be seen to be doing you any favours or giving you any advantage. I'm probably going to be harder on you. And I was obviously not going to argue with that, and moved on pretty quickly and punched out the hardest working training session I've ever done.
Would have been through the roof.
Through the roof. Intensity levels, voice.
Get through the cones, boys.
Voices up, high fives, pointing. It was spectacular. But that's actually the story, and from there, it was onwards and upwards.
That's great, and credit to Choco. He's a great man. There is one story, though, that I may have come across with this, the last one.
What are you doing here?
Funny times, you know, when you're young, and there's always a bit of conjecture. Is that a word?
Yes.
Conjecture about where the relationship lies with sleeping arrangements.
Where are you going with this?
Was there maybe a night where, obviously, at a young age, you guys were made to sleep in separate rooms, early days?
Yes. But we were 18, so
obviously,
we were adults.
Oh, yes. No, but was there something that happened?
You've heard the story, have you?
Yes. Just tell it.
So, her room, they lived in Sydney. Her room was like upstairs, top. My spare room was literally the other end of the house.
Yeah.
So, like usually I'd have to make my way to that room at an appropriate time. And one night it was probably left a little bit too late, and you know, probably thought, gee, I better get there.
Better scoot.
Yeah. Not that they probably realised.
Yeah.
But so it was at a time where I thought, you know, everyone's would
in
be
bed,
asleep,
yeah,
or every normal person would be asleep. Resting or going about their sleep.
Yeah.
And so I've tiptoed down down the stairs, got past, and as I've walked past the lounge room, Mark's still on the couch watching like EPL, watching the soccer, and just looked over his shoulder and just stared at me as I tiptoed to the spare room, and he just looked at me and just sort of said, pretty late.
Yeah.
I was like, he goes, early training tomorrow. And I was like, I just got to go to sleep now. And
I was just doing push-ups.
Yeah. And it was bloody awkward. And then that next day was the hardest session I had trained again.
Yeah, you went back to back.
Went back to back.
You backed it up.
Yeah.
Wowee. Thanks for sharing that incredible story.
Another story from early in the days. This is not to do with Georgie again. We'll let Georgie go because she's an astounding woman. It was when you, in early in your career, there's sometimes when you're a bit young and naive and talking to the media. I actually never found out this until you told me last year, but what was the, because we have obviously Lenny Hayes as a coach at the club, what was that day what happened that time when you spoke to the media about St Kilda, and then obviously you'd said something, but then they knew and they sort of wanted to get you back in the next game?
Yeah, it was like start of our second year. We played some competitive footy. We weren't winning, but we played some competitive footy round one and two, and we just lost to Port Adelaide at Amy Stadium, or Amy Park, whatever it is called over there. And did an interview that next day, and we had St Kilda the following week, and just the journo just asked about, you know, what's sort of the plan going into against St Kilda, and you know, I was probably pretty honest at the time. I was like, oh, well, we're a young team, we're exciting, we've got a lot of really good runners, and I think I use the term like we're going to probably try and run them off their legs.
Yeah, which is fair enough.
Which is like, now I wouldn't care about saying that, because that's probably what clubs would actually say about other clubs. But yeah, obviously they ran with it, and it, you know, sort of blew out of proportion about how they reported it, and made me look like that I was like potting,
saying they were old.
Saying they're old, that they're done, and that we're going to probably get them in our 25th game of footy ever. And they'd just come off like a pretty good
successful time,
era of playing grand finals and finals and that. So yeah, they like absolutely targeted me the next game. It didn't help when Leon wanted to start me on the bench to protect me, which was like, well, now I look soft.
I'm starting
on the bench. I didn't get on to like the 10-minute mark. And when I came on, they just kicked like their fifth goal.
Anyone in particular?
Yeah. Well, Lenny came over, Nick Riewoldt, Lee Montagna had some nice things to say about me, and about my body shape, which is funny because he's turned out that way.
Yeah, I think I know. Yeah, okay.
And Jaron Geary also had some choice words to say, and it was a seriously hard game because you know, like grown men, superstars of the game, were just smashing me, and I was like, well, gee, I will never ever talk again to the media. And we got pumped by like 120 points.
Yeah. Okay. Lesson learned.
Yeah.
So, mate, obviously, you're at the Giants. Long time. We'll move on. But obviously, it would have been such a tough decision for you to return home. Talk me through that last year and making up your decision. Was it always, did you know what you were going to do? Was it changing here and there, everywhere? Obviously, there was three teams that were sort of in the race that we know of. Might have been more. What ended up making up your mind? How'd you do it?
Yeah, it was actually a really tough decision because, you know, I love the city of Sydney. I sort of spent my whole adult life here and did a lot of growing up and discovering who I was as a person here, and also playing for, you know, what's become a great footy club in the Giants, and to become one of, you know, be one of the first players here was something that I really cherished. And, you know, it was really tough to decide to return back to Melbourne. But in the end, I felt that, probably at the start of my career, I would have said, oh, I think I will return home to experience footy in Melbourne and for what it is and what it lives up to be. And hopefully that was going to be for a big club, which luckily it's turned out to be Essendon. Probably towards the end of the season, you know, start sort of having those thoughts. And there's no doubt that it changed every day from wanting to stay and remain or wanting to return home. So, yeah, it came, you know, obviously came around and had a look at a few clubs in Melbourne, and they were all pretty good at presenting. And, you know, for me, it just came down to a big club, a club that plays on the big stage, plays in front of big crowds and has a terrific support, you know, level of support through their members and fans, and also a place I thought I could just play really high level of footy, and obviously bro was a person outside of the club, and Essendon was that club for me. That's what it came down to.
How hard was it though, like obviously
this has gone real serious.
I know, but a few of those, I just needed a few of those, what are they called, interviews, the private jets, all these things that we hear about that us scum, we don't ever see, I suppose. What was that like with those big dogs? It must have been cool. You would have felt like Harvey Specter at some stage.
More like Vinny Chase on Entourage.
Vinny Chase. Can you tell us what? Can you say what the most elaborate thing was? You don't have to name the club, but you can say the most elaborate pretty, thing.
No, I would honestly, it's been, it's wildly known, the clubs that I did have a look at going to, but they were all great in their own ways. But there was certainly one club that went to an extreme level that I think they may have done with other players in the past and will probably do in the future. But I don't know.
Okay.
They do have that ability. Suspense. And disposable income.
Wow.
But, as you know, Dil, was lucky enough to get a trip up to Noosa for a day and, sort of enjoy some really nice...
Finer things in life.
Finer things in life, yeah. Which is great.
It's great. Someone has to do it.
Someone's got to do it. And I was willing to put my hand up to do it.
You're a good man. You've always been good like that.
Yeah. Mate. It was a great experience.
In the... speak about that decision, but Albert, in the actual period of that as well, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but you are an incredibly diligent trainer, athlete, diet, everything. Probably the best I've ever seen. Professional. Absolute professional. In the off-season when I went to Europe and ate pasta and did whatnot, you went to a trip in LA, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Phoenix, LA? Where was
it? LA, LA.
Talk us through that. What was it? It was like a training camp that you just learned how to get even quicker and faster.
Oh, so this is like this conditioning company, I guess, if you call them. It was like sports science company called Exos. It's pretty Exos. Big over in the US, and they do a lot of training and that for NFL draft prospects and NBA and that. And, obviously was keen to sort of learn and get over there and try a few different things and just have a bit of fun while I was over there. But, yeah, I went over there and did a 10-day camp at Exos in Exos Center in LA, and I think actually a few guys at Essendon have done that as well, and and are planning to do it in the future. So it's pretty cool experience, and certainly deal if you're looking to get a bit of change of pace or improve your agility, which I know is something you're trying to work on. It's a great place to go.
Okay, thanks.
When I came back from that, and then we were matched up with each other.
I do remember that actually. I do remember that. I sore ankles for a couple of weeks. But no, it was good.
Nah, not at all.
Mate, adaption now to Melbourne life. This wasn't just Melbourne, but you're an absolute property mogul. You love your property and your property development, but now that you've moved back to Melbourne, you're obviously doing a bit of work there. Talk us through that and your passion in that side of it.
Yeah, so, first and foremost, passion is footy and I love it, but there are plenty of interests outside of footy that I am enjoying, and, property is a pretty broad industry, but certainly the specifics in the property game that I'm enjoying and able to experience with some work experience. I'm doing one day a week in the city at the moment, which I'm, thoroughly enjoying and learning a lot of about the property game. And besides what I like to do there, also got into a bit of golf.
Yeah.
Which
talk us through this. Is this because of the Masters?
Not really. So I think Devin Smith is he's best golfer at the club, and we're at Bowen Heads doing a leadership camp in Geelong, or down that Bowen Heads, obviously.
God's country down there.
Yeah, and tried to pick up a stick and have a few hits with him, and I was horrific, and he sort of said maybe it's something I should get into, and I did, and, did what any AFL player returning home would, went straight to TaylorMade, bought some brand-new sticks, and all the gear, no idea.
Yeah.
And I'm handicaps now at 6, so... No, I mean 26.
Mate, I get obsessed with golf once a year for about a week, and I just give it up every time.
No, I play 2 times a week.
No, I play once a week a year. So like once, 1 week of a year I play and then give it up. It's too tough.
It's a great game.
Yeah, it is. Good on you. Good stuff.
I'm also into the F1 at the moment.
Actually, I did see, your F1, you come down to Melbourne and you're the face of F1.
I got lucky enough to land the ambassador role for the F1, Australian Grand Prix, and I had an awesome experience doing that. I actually got to do a hot lap at Albert Park. And
in what sort of car?
It was the 2-seater McLaren F1, and that's like a scary experience. Like you hit, I think, around the 300 kilometres an hour mark, and that ass. What they can do is crazy. But that was awesome. I recommend doing that if you can.
Yeah, I'll just go down the street and just jump in an F1. Just go for a ride. You do understand, not normal people, we don't get you just to do that every day. It's not something you can just hire.
Next question.
Mate, that's actually all I've got for you. That's all I've got.
Oh, okay.
It's been an absolute pleasure for me to catch up with you again. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Can't wait to see you keep dominating this year. Take the Dons to where they need to be. And, mate, thanks again, and love you.
Mate, thank you. It's been an absolute honour to be here on this show, and I'm probably going to listen to this one, that's for sure.
Dill, and don't forget, mate, be yourself, because everyone else is taken.
Thanks for listening to the show. Hope you enjoyed it. The Dylan Friends podcast is produced by me, Dylan, and is edited by my great mate, Ryan Miller. To keep notified on the release, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever else you listen. If you want to see more of myself and the podcast, please follow at Dill Buckley and at Dylan Friends on Instagram. And if you want to contact me directly, please email dillandfriends@outlook.com. And don't forget to be yourself, because everyone else is taken.
That was legitness.
Was that it? Did I learn?